Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz, currently in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Well, what's happening in the presentation world for everyone? I'm going to start because I'm pretty darn excited. I've had 2 full weeks in my studio, which also means 2 weeks of not being in an airport, not being in a hotel. Of course, it also means I've been on a paperwork binge. So if you're one of our clients, you're probably actually getting an invoice because I never get to those and catching up on everything else. But it's been really nice. It's really nice just to be home.
Well, I just got back from a training in D.C. This is my third trip in 4 weeks. I was out in Chicago and Detroit and L.A. and San Francisco and then D.C. And in a week or two, I'll be in Florida. So suffice it to say, I'm feeling a little guilty with my newborn twins. But, you know, I got two college educations now to look forward to paying for.
So, well, I ended up taking another Rush project recently. I don't want to get into the habit of doing it. It just so happened that I could do it. And man, it's a lucrative opportunity. On the personal side, I'm moving. I'm so excited.
That was a really lucrative job. You bought a house off of it?
No, I guess.
Oh, really? You're moving? Wait,
you did just move. What's going on?
Yeah.
We did. We moved just over 2 years ago to Wisconsin, to Green Bay, Wisconsin. My husband was transferred for his business. He's transferred again. The good news is I get to go back to Minneapolis. So I'm really, really excited.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think you ever really left.
No,
your
not
heart
really.
Never left.
My heart never left. Quite a bit of business there. So we're actually showing the house after this podcast for the first time. It's not even listed. It's fun. It's fun stuff.
Cool. So you're not going back to the old house. You're presumably getting a new house.
No, exactly. We're going to start shopping for a new home soon.
Okay, cool.
You know, we moved where we're at now. We're just north of San Diego. We actually didn't sell our home that we were living in. It was like our escape route because we weren't sure we were going to like the area. We love where we're at. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Bought our office and, building and everything else. But we kept it. It was like our escape plan just in case we could always go back.
That's neat. That's a great to have a backup plan.
That's what we called it, our escape plan. Why are you selling it? It's the high market. And then the market crashed. I was like, well, now we're not selling it for other reasons. But
right.
Anyways. Okay, presentation world news. There's a fair bit of stuff going on in addition to, I've got news that's very apt. Apropos to the timing of everything, Hurricane Irma just made its way through the southeast coast area. And we had this scramble because we had a call basically said, hey, our host event hotel is now closed for a month of repairs and our event is canceled. Can you reroute all shipping, cancel as many parent projects as you can? We don't need the HTML email campaigns to continue. The microsite, could you put up a big notice saying that basically our event is unfortunately been postponed until next year's event? So that was kind of timely news. So we spent the whole day kind of in working with one of our clients and our printers and shipping and everything else in kind of crisis mode of trying to get as much,
speaking of Florida, all three of us will be headed down to the presentation summit and the news, I feel like Radio Free America here. The news is that the summit will be held at the hotel. I don't know the name. I can't think of the name of it, but
it's the Sheraton.
The Sheraton.
Yes.
Had a supposedly very minor damage. So it is open for business, I think, as of tomorrow. So all things as planned.
Yay. So good. I can't wait to see you guys, which will be just a couple of days after this podcast.
Yeah.
Broadcast.
Yeah, it will.
That's right.
This is a small conference. This is a lot of one-on-one time with everybody. I know it's going to be really, really fun. I'm really excited because I'm just going to go listen to Nolan talk and heckle him because I have no talking responsibilities. I just get to talk to people and enjoy my time. So it'll be fun. And Lori's going to be there, co-founder of TLC Creators.
Will we be recording a podcast there?
We are recording at least one. Okay. I've got a couple of different options or plans in place. We're not there the whole time. Unfortunately, when I found out I wasn't presenting at this one, we always have, this is a busy time of the year. So I did say yes to a project that takes me to Spain. It was it was a hard decision, but the staying extra part, once I said yes, was not hard. But I've actually got a jet out of there so I can get over to the beautiful, I don't know, what do you call Valencia? Is that the Mediterranean? The other side of Spain.
Well, good. I'm giving a heads up to our listeners. If you're listening today, the Presentation Expert is featuring a new series on the Presentation Guild. And so today at, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, Steve Rinsberg, PowerPoint MVP, Steffi Lewis, Presentation Guild Director, and myself will be on an Ask the Experts panel. I would love to have you, everyone, join us. Just so you know, this is a series, and I don't have the date of our next one, but please join us for this first one later today.
Hey, where's the PowerPoint? That is practically a noun describing a presentation. No matter how it was created, the PowerPoint refers to the presentation. It's just what we've come to use in, I'd say corporate America, but it's used globally in education, everywhere else. And it really speaks to the dominance of Microsoft PowerPoint in the presentation industry. Not that that's a bad thing, especially when you look at, how Microsoft continues to evolve the software. But there are other options to use, all with high points and advantages. And then there are some considerations with many of them. So let's talk about the ones we know that are out there and use for projects.
Yeah, I've always hated and corrected people who said, can you create a PowerPoint? I mean, it's good for Microsoft because it's like Kleenex or Band-Aid. Right. It's become the term. But I always hated it because I felt like it had negative connotations and people were, it just sort of led to that standard PowerPoint. Look, I always told people to, don't create a PowerPoint, create a presentation. Don't think about it as creating a piece of software or a file, but create a presentation. But as I get older, I care less. I stop correcting people. I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever.
Same here. I care less, but it keeps happening more and more. I mean, I hear you, but
it's just the nomenclature that's being adopted. So I think it's kind of funny when people misspeak. We're dealing with a client right now that wants to do, they're like, yeah, we want our PowerPoint, literally, this is the quote. Yeah, we're going to be bringing our PowerPoint, meaning their presentation, our PowerPoint is done in Prezi.
That's
Wait a minute, are
funny.
You listening? But they're using the word PowerPoint as a noun. It's like, hey, my presentation. And we're also kind of saying
I think from an ego sort of perspective, we are, you don't like to be thought of as somebody that just creates software files, just uses
right.
the program, because we do far more than that, and somebody's not a Photoshopper, create me a Photoshop or create me a you don't tell a writer, create me a Microsoft Word. But anyway, all right, I'll get off that.
No, I hear you.
All right. The main competitor, as we probably know, is Keynote. And that is, I've been using Keynote from day one, although the last few years been using it less and less. You use it basically if you're on an Apple platform. If you're not on an Apple platform or ever have to show it not on an Apple platform, it's a non-starter. And even just yesterday, I have one client that does Keynote pretty much. And he wanted something, and he wanted to do some curved text. And I told him, I said, we can't do this natively, so it's going to be a graphic. He said, but I want to edit it. I said, then it has to be PowerPoint. So it's now PowerPoint.
There you go.
Because it has some great features, but it also is severely lacking in others.
Well, okay. So you mentioned Prezi first. And I just have to say, overall, I don't think I'll be much help in this subject discussion. I don't work in many other software programs other than PowerPoint. I have recently been more intrigued after speaking with, by the way, the CEO, Peter Arvey from Prezi, with some really cool stuff that's coming down the pipe. As a matter of fact, they're coming out with an AR.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know about this.
Augmented reality presentation option. And
that could be cool. Their platform is totally, I could see that transition.
That's exactly. Well, PowerPoint could do it too, technically. So it's, you know, but anyway, so I'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Well, that's really cool. Well, sticking on the Keynote thing, Keynote, in my view, is definitely the second highest used presentation software. I just wrapped up a large, well, you might say huge, if you saw the 80-foot wide by 30-foot high LED wall. It's really great because we had actual, it was an automotive thing. And when you put a car there in front of the screen and you're kind of back in the audience, it looked like a little Matchbox photo shoot because the cars were just so small compared to this huge wall behind it. It was very fun. But we used, that whole project was using Keynote. I'll say two things about that is, one, Keynote is a great software to use. Two, we went to Keynote primarily because of back-to-back video playback on the Apple platform. In Keynote, there is less of a pause, there's still a pause, than there is in PowerPoint. PowerPoint definitely has some video performance needs that need to be enhanced, and we could not get the large 4K videos to play back-to-back on any type of computer. And we're using some pretty robust hardware. But, you know, I had one of the greatest compliments came to me off of this show. Is one of the key people in, I'd just say, the live event world came back and said, "Now we're using, what are we using to create this with? Because, you know, basically it looked really dynamic and great." And he's like, "We're not using PowerPoint." It's like, no, "We're not using PowerPoint." It's like, "Are we using Keynote? Because I heard we were using Keynote." Oh, yeah. He's like, "Oh." So it felt really good that it was a presentation and they couldn't identify the software used. I thought that was a pretty compliment because that's the goal. It shouldn't look like a software. It should look like a presentation. On that project, one of the designers on our team was very much a PowerPoint designer. And we had a very interesting conversation. As a longtime user of Keynote, since it was pretty much released like you, Nolan, I can say Keynote was superior to PowerPoint in nearly all aspects when it released, except for corporate reuse. They, you know, just it was platform specific and it kind of was a non-starter for so many executives and teams that were only stuck on Windows. But for the past 8 years, PowerPoint has kind of continuously evolved and gotten better, where Keynote is, I think it's kind of virtually the same program as when it was released. And it was kind of an interesting conversation where I have this back history, but this guy who's only used PowerPoint, very, very high level, great designer. And he was like, "Well, I could do this way in PowerPoint, and I could do this way in PowerPoint." And it was kind of an interesting conversation. I kind of thought back. I'm like, it used to be the other way around. Hey, I could do this in Keynote, but I can't do it in PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. So those two platforms, definitely the highest use out there, I guess is what we want to say.
Yeah, you had mentioned video, and I do think it's still superior in certain ways. And that was one of the reasons we used, you know, video so often years ago, was because at that time it was far superior. All that said, I'm scared of using Keynote. I used to use it for my own personal projects, until I realized this is ridiculous. I'm teaching PowerPoint, you know, or I'm teaching people who are, you know, only have PowerPoint, so I should be using that. But I'm scared of using it because I've said this before: Apple's history with killing software. I have no faith and zero assurance that Keynote will still be around in a few years. I could easily see waking up one morning and Apple saying, "Yeah, we're getting rid of this bit of software that, you know, brings us zero revenue and we don't want to support it," and that's it.
Interesting. So no loss there for me, but what about Google Slides?
Okay. I'm going to have to take a pass on this one. I've literally opened a file in Google Slides twice over the past, I'll just say, many years. It's just not even I haven't even really looked at it.
I remember when Google Slides first came out, you know, I was very excited. We looked at it and looked at it for about 30 seconds and saw, oh, that's it. Okay. Not using that. But, you know, since then, they've added features and everything, but it's still so limited in features. We actually did our first project with it a couple weeks ago, or last month, and the designer I was working with had much more experience with it, and just, you know, it ended up looking fine. You know, they certainly knew what they were doing, but, you know, just said that templates are a royal pain.
Yes,
masters and layouts. And if you can avoid it, I would. You know, that said, there are lots of young companies like the, you know, the cloud aspect of it. Everybody can work on it at once, and it is simpler. It's free. I mean, all those sorts of things are nice. I mean, I like Google Sheets, the spreadsheets. I use those for a few things, especially like joint spreadsheets I need to share with other people, and it's always there. All you need is a URL to always get to it. But for presentation, I try not to use it.
I have to say, I like Google Sheets better than Google Docs or Google Slides, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Both of them are clearly a collaboration tool. I question how well it can be used in a corporate environment because of the master situation. And if any corporation wants to control their brand, masters become an issue with Google Slides. I know charts are really difficult. You can only, if I'm not mistaken, and you might be able to correct me on this, Nolan, you can only insert charts from Google, the spreadsheet product. Yeah, you know, and then it inserts as a picture,
probably.
So then it's grainy. You know, you don't have quality. It's not a vector. So
it's an online app. I mean, and the collaboration of everything Google is really top-notch.
So
that's a pretty good point.
Yeah. So the last two things we mentioned, Keynote and Google, are free programs, right? And so it's hard to certainly we can criticize Google and Apple, but, you know, what are they going to say? Yeah, we're not charging anything for it. It's not
good
a
point.
Product. You don't have to buy, so we don't have to make it better.
And they're functional.
Wait.
Depending on your needs.
They work.
Ahead. Well, I was going to say, isn't PowerPoint web app free?
I know you can read for free. Can you actually edit?
That's I don't know.
If you have it comes now, like if you get a Hotmail or an Outlook.com email address, it is in there. It's available for editing and viewing. The mobile app though is view only unless you have an Office 365 subscription. So
good
it gets
point.
A little confusing.
Good point. Mobile versus web.
Yeah, web version is now available. It's actually used by it's kind of the back end for a lot of different webmail services now. Like if you click the link, it just opens it up and you don't even realize you've moved to the Office online app for Excel or PowerPoint or whatever, unless you know what it looks like. I think it works really, really good. But yeah, the mobile version, the Android and the iOS, at least, they have a free viewer. And if you want to be able to edit and see a few more features, you have to be signed in as an Office 365 subscriber.
Right.
So it's free with your subscription. So as example, everybody on our design team, we give them a corporate, you know, our Office 365 subscription through TLC Creative Services. And we let them know like, hey, your subscription's good for many computers. So if you want to put it on your computer, if you have a Mac at home, you can use it. Just sign in with your credentials from TLC. That's fine. As long as you're here, you get to use it. In addition, you can throw it on all your mobile devices as well. Android, iPhone, iPad, you know, just go ahead and put in your credentials, and it's pretty cool how much power it offers. So I think that's another, we'll talk about those later. So going with the online route, because this has kind of changed a little, let's talk about Prezi. Because Prezi, I think they should be a strong contender in the presentation space. They understand corporate presentations. You mentioned the co-founder, Peter, but he understands corporate presentations. Prezi was created, in my opinion, to overcome a limitation of PowerPoint, of which they've kind of now, again, PowerPoint's evolved. They've added Morph and a few other features. Some of the things that Prezi does, no one else can do. And it's just really, really cool. Let me rephrase that. You can do it in video. You can do it in After Effects. I used to do it in Director, the whole pan across a larger canvas. But its core is aligned with so many great presentation concepts. It's got that nonlinear feel.
Right.
It has that no templatization of content. You know, that's one of the things that all presentation software gets criticized of. It just kind of looks like it. And again, that's why I was so excited about this last job where the executive producer couldn't actually visually tell what program was used to create the presentations. So, you know, everything kind of comes templatized to a software. It has the ability to use advanced file formats like importing PDFs. I know Keynote can do this and PowerPoint cannot, Google Docs cannot, and, you know, several others. But, you know, it has an online version. It has a standalone install version. Now, I'm going to talk about the legacy one because I don't know much about the new version. But because I haven't really explored the new version, it's, you know, they kind of completely refresh the Prezi app and
Prezi Next.
All these attributes.
Yeah.
Prezi Next. That's it. Thank you. Prezi Next is out there. It should be a stronger contender. It should be a higher use thing just because it has some very core, very large visual concepts that work for presentation storytelling. But I think they're still getting their footing.
But here's why I don't use the tool. People aren't asking for it. I really don't get requests for it. And the few that I've gotten over the years, I've been able to convince them that I can do the same in PowerPoint, which of course has gotten so much easier.
Yeah. And I've said this before, I've stopped doing Prezi as you said, Sandy, because people just stop asking for it. You know, and so now if I get asked one time a year, even if they're totally sold on it, it's not worth it for me to keep up, you know, with the skills and just experience with it just, you know, for once a year. So, you know, the last couple I had done, I'd started sort of subcontracting other people, and then, you know, it became harder for me to sort of make confident edits and at the last minute. So we just don't do it.
So on that, I did a lot of Prezi work. We actually had two computers that had the license so we could do the offline. We got hired for projects just because we'd show up and we could run Prezi, understand how to build in it. Cause it's a very different. Well, the formatting is different. The tools are very different, but just the idea and concept of how you move around without making an audience motion sick was an interesting concept to work with. And I think that was one of its downfalls. Again, anybody can use it, but not everybody should be allowed to use it because, you know, there's flying across was really cool until it was, you know, 9 minutes into a presentation and you'd already flown across the world and nobody was, you know, seeing straight because of blurriness. We loved it. I mean, I did like working with it, but I will say, when we were doing a lot of Prezi work, I did as much rebuilding Prezis into PowerPoint because one of its downsides, and I think this will happen with all of them, is you can't not repurpose that content in the corporate world. So people will give this great presentation and then they're like, oh, I want to use this for my, you know, that information for my analyst meeting in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't pull it out of Prezi. Oh, really? Well, okay, here's what we can do. We can actually rebuild this presentation in PowerPoint. So we actually did a lot of Prezi work, and I matched it with PowerPoint work. So I got two jobs out of one. So it was kind of cool. I give them this really cool visual, and then I'd have to put it into a format that still looked really cool. And, you know, that way they could repurpose it. And I think that's a big problem with every software we're talking about, is that ability to repurpose and use it in the corporate world.
Exactly.
What's another one?
Haiku Deck. Haiku Deck recently did a Presentation Guild webinar, and I learned some things. You know, because I haven't touched in a while. I was in touch with the folks when it first came out. So they've added a few things. It's still the philosophy behind it is ultra simplicity. You know, similar to Google Docs, but even more so. I mean, it is really just sort of photo plus text, and now they have charting and stuff, but. The philosophy is don't put a lot. In fact, I think it might even stop you from putting a certain number of words or characters on.
Right.
I can't remember.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So it forces simplicity. I like that. To me, the claim to fame when it first came out was the ease to get great photos.
It was very visual.
But couldn't you input words and a photo options would show up for you within Haiku Deck? And now we can do that in PowerPoint, of course. But that was their original claim to fame and the simplicity of it. But I've only worked with one client over the years that has used Haiku Deck. It was for a conference. Yes, you could convert it to PowerPoint, but it was all images. So I ended up rebuilding it for PowerPoint for the conference anyway.
I've never done a professional job in it.
I think, well, right or wrong, I do not put Haiku Deck in a professional corporate communication arena. Where I do see it is education. Sometimes a guest presenter, or what I'll call kind of the fun presentations, its design and storytelling methodology, I think they're really great. I mean, it's very refreshing. It's very visual. It's very simplistic as far as content. You can't clutter the screen in haiku. But maybe because I place an emphasis on having, how do you want to say this? I place an emphasis on having visuals, but the visuals need to support the actual presentation. I find haiku's image search and placement kind of more in that novelty arena. Mm-hmm. It often provides very cliche visual options. You know, the handshake, the globe. You know,
the light bulb.
Yeah, things that you know I don't think are kind of in step with what I call modern professional presentation and storytelling, but from an application, it's easy to use, and it has it definitely breaks the bullet point driven. It just doesn't look like it was created in PowerPoint, which is a good thing because I don't think PowerPoint should look like PowerPoint.
You know, it's the design of the software is trying to fix behavior, right? Or improve behavior. Or,
oh, good way to say it. Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
Well done.
Which is noble, I guess, but you know, it always kind of makes me, you know, think of the Mozart "Too Many Notes," you know, comment.
Yes,
it's kind of working from the outside in. So, I mean, yeah, if you had a music program and it only, you know, an electronic music program and it only allowed you to use three instruments at a time, you know, if you're a musician, like that it does feel more toy-like. As opposed to, well, hey, I'm a professional musician. I need five instruments. Like, so how can I use this?
I love that line from what was the name of the movie about Mozart?
Amadeus.
Amadeus. That's one of my favorite lines ever.
Yeah.
Too many notes.
I think it's apocryphal, or I've heard various things, but yeah, it's certainly a great line when you don't know how to critique something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's Haiku Deck. Let's see.
I'm going to ask the next one because I know nothing about it. open the kimono here. I've never created a presentation in InDesign or using PDFs. I just don't do it.
Oh, really?
How about you guys? Well, I know you guys do. We've talked about it a million times.
But I honestly, I don't know if I've ever created one for screen. I mean, I've certainly created like pitch books and things that somebody might say or a good presentation. Point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah, I've never created anything specifically for screen in InDesign. I've certainly seen things and been given on-screen presentations that were created by InDesign, you know, from agencies that I've then had to fix or convert to PowerPoint.
Yeah, with all of these, it's the tools you have available and what you're familiar with. And yeah, for us, it's usually InDesign comes to us from an agency where the internal Marcom department or the agency design team, that's their tool of choice. They understand InDesign. InDesign has, I mean, it's one of my favorite programs to work in because I can control everything. But it's also kind of I have a love-hate with it in how, you know, just kind of how I personally feel about it. Maybe it's I'm conflicted. Because, you know, it's a really great program for designers. On the other hand, if you don't understand how a presentation works, you're using the wrong tool. Because how often do you get something designed in InDesign? First of all, it's the wrong aspect ratio. So mm-hmm. Now you got to make it fit because there are physical screens we're projecting to. So I don't care what program you use. You have to make it fit the environment it's going to be used in. And then there's things like, you know, you can admire the layouts and the visual ideas and then cringe at the practical use of those layouts and visuals. Things don't align from page to page. So, you know, the little bottom footer jumps around because when you're flipping a printed piece, you know, printed page, you don't notice things. When it's doing a nice little simple fade, you notice when things move even a pixel, especially when that pixel is on a, you know, 80-foot high or, you know, wall. There's a big movement. There's a lot of small text because that's a print design methodology. You know, a lot of 12-point text is not practical when you're 60 feet away. Projected contrast is one of the big ones that kills me. We kind of talking from personal experience here. We have a couple of executive teams. They use a particular agency. Everything comes to us flattened because they do it all in InDesign. It looks beautiful on the printouts. Then when you go to project it, it's like, you know what? That faded text over that faded image does not have enough contrast for the audience. It's a beautiful layout, but it's not practical for here.
You know what designers love to use, and I see a lot in design presentations, really thin type, like
yes.
Helvetica, mm-hmm. like super light or, you know, like extra light. which is just as awful for screens. I mean, it looks great on in print. It looks great on your computer monitor, but not for big screens. And I, you know, everything you were just saying, Troy, you could design a beautiful looking on-screen presentation in InDesign. And I always say you probably, given enough time and, you know, self-loathing, you could design the front page of the New York Times in PowerPoint. But the tools put you in a mindset of print or screen. And so, you know, even us who know what the final, you know, look should be, when we're working in those programs, it just forces us into those formats.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's just hard to break out of that.
So Sandy, I think I see a fair amount of InDesign files come through our studio, mm-hmm. but they're mainly from design departments where that's their tool of choice. In addition, that's their library of information. You know, they have everything there. We're grabbing it and we're extracting the information and we're building the slides for them. I do that.
Like you, okay. I get the InDesign files and then I use them to create a presentation.
Yeah, and we tell design departments all the time, like, you create the look, we'll make the presentation yes. work. You know, we're not going to change your design. It's your internal aesthetics. It's your branding. We get that. We're just going to take it and make it work. Now, a PDF, on the other hand, which is generally what they want to do with an InDesign file, is I think why we grouped them together. But PDFs can be used as presentations. I mean, they've got some great advantages. It can be truly locked content. If you're using Acrobat, probably even Reader, you can run it full screen. If it's designed in the right aspect ratio.
It has transitions.
There's a fade.
I thought there were a few different types of transitions.
I get a lot of, in the medical arena, there's a lot of content that's locked down. But then again, Nolan, I think Sandy, you might go with this one. I don't think everybody understands how you can actually open up and basically deconstruct a PDF in Office now, how easy it is. In Acrobat, you can just say convert to PowerPoint. And you end up with almost all editable content, depending on how the PDF was created. And Office, at least Office 2016, now has a file open, and it'll let you open up PDFs straight into Office. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. But anyways, it can be a good presentation tool, and if it's built correctly, it can be used as an end delivery element.
I'm looking at the transitions. There are about a dozen transitions, including glitter.
Ooh, fancy.
That's your favorite. That's your favorite, right? But you know, I always recommend if people are creating PowerPoint files to turn them into PDFs to give them to a client. Unless the client actively needs to edit the file with you, there's no reason they should have the PowerPoint file.
You know what? That's a great point. I don't tell clients to do that. I always, you know, I worry about the fonts and all that, which rightfully so. But of course, they should be sending PDFs.
Yeah. I mean, I work with a lot of clients that are just sending reports and research and analysis and proposals and things. And there's no reason for them to have, access to all your live charts to begin with and the ability to screw things up, the ability to repurpose them, unless they say they want to repurpose them.
We do a lot of proofs in PDF, and we do it for ease of view. Hey, we're going to send you a PDF file so you can look at it on your mobile device easily. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think a lot of people get lulled into thinking, oh, it's locked content. It's saved. It's not. It depends
not
on how the PDF is created. Mm-hmm. But PDFs are, for the most part, just a container holding the information, and you can get to that content pretty easily in almost every case.
And in the last year, Acrobat's export to PowerPoint export to Word.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And on top of that, PDFs used to be this format that was locked and you couldn't edit it. Now, and you used to be able to like go in and change take out a character or add. Now you can really open up PDFs within Acrobat, make significant changes and close them down. So mm-hmm. The format's kind of changing. All right, are we on to our next one?
Yeah, let's talk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here. We're going to play word association. Microsoft Sway. Go, Troy.
Well, okay. I can honestly say, here's the question. Have any of us used Sway for a real project? I'm not raising my hand.
I'm not raising my hand.
I've played with it.
Across my desk.
I played with it to experience it. I think it's I have it on my phone. I think it's a very cool little app. It's very haiku-like in the fact that it goes and gets the content and helps you build the build the presentation. I love how it doesn't have to be just one sort of content. It can grab portions of, you know, it can integrate video and text, and it can integrate PDF content. I got to think about this before I say it. Anyway, it has this ability to kind of jump through different types of content and string it together in a presentation format. And it's kind of interactive, you know, with the swipe up to see more and swipe left or right to go forward or back through the presentation. I just don't know if it's a real program in the professional arena.
Do you remember the headline that came out a couple of days after it was released?
No.
The PowerPoint killer.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little silly.
It was. Huh. But I don't use it. The closest I've come to seeing it used in the real world is recently on a website. It was, the website was created in Sway.
Really?
Maybe it was a link to a document on their OneDrive. You know, I honestly didn't spend a lot of time. I was just really surprised when I clicked the link and I got a Sway icon.
Yeah. It has a lot of, it's like in Haiku Deck for me. It's got a lot of really cool features and options. It's definitely more individual presentation because, you know, there's lots of different navigation options and way to kind of go nonlinear. Like, oh, I want to get more information about that. So you swipe up or, you know, then you swipe right to go to the next content thing. And it's a novelty item. I don't think it's going to go far, but I also don't think it's going to go away because Microsoft has done a good investment in it. I don't really know what it's going to do. It could be really cool for, you know what? It could be really cool in an augmented reality scenario.
You think so?
Because it already has those different types of ideas of navigation that's not linear.
Okay.
I can see that.
Okay.
AR content coming into play there? I don't know.
I think of it more of college students' interactive brochure. I don't know.
That's very specific.
Yeah.
I was thinking more along the lines of little girl's unicorn fantasy put together mashup.
Funny. Oh, you're funny. Nolan, so you, I'm guessing you don't use it.
No, I played around with it probably even less than you guys did when it first came out, but I'm going to pass on this one.
Okay, I know we talked about PowerPoint a lot, but let's talk about, so not the PowerPoint desktop version, the PowerPoint that we all know, but the web and the mobile, which we kind of talked about. I think they should be recognized as options beyond the traditional install of PowerPoint because they are, for all intents and purposes, they're standalone applications and they have some very specific uses, arenas of use that are a little different and expand the use of PowerPoint. So I say let's just make them their own category as far as applications to use.
Yeah, good one. You know, the mobile app has come in. It's so convenient. I've used it many, many times to open up a presentation. Someone asked me to make a comment. I look at it. There have been times where I've had to maybe make an edit. But but the point is, it's a great tool for passing it on to somebody else, you know, especially if you have OneDrive connected to it. It's really, really handy that way.
Yeah, I only use it for looking, I've created some very minor, you know, non-professional PowerPoint files. Like I think one time I was furniture shopping and I was taking photos, and then maybe it was like, I can't remember if you can take them from PowerPoint, but whatever it was, I was like dumping them in there because I wanted to annotate like over the photo or next to the photo, so I thought that was the easiest way to do it. I don't know.
Funny.
That's creative. That's creative.
I was at the airport picking up Lauren when she arrived from Japan, and I wanted to make one of those signs that say, you know, you have a sign that say Johnson, Lauren Johnson. Well, I didn't make one, so I created it on my phone. I mean, seriously, that's about it.
So I have a question. Because, Sandy, you're using an Android mobile device, right? So you have PowerPoint. Okay, so here's my question. On the iOS, on an Apple iPhone, if I want to open up a PowerPoint file in the PowerPoint app, I have to actually click and hold to bring up a little array of different programs. I cannot tell Apple to not use their Viewer app, which is really funny because I can't tell it to use the Keynote app by default either.
It used to be easier. It used to be you clicked and hold, and right away you could see PowerPoint as an option. But now you have to do two or three clicks to get to that option to find PowerPoint.
Yeah, I think it's a little – I wish it would be a little bit smoother. And I know that Microsoft has no control over it because it's the hierarchy that Apple has put in place. And I think in my case I have a couple other programs that come in alphabetically or whatever it is. So I actually have to click, hold, wait for the little pop-up, then I have to slide over, and then it has to copy it to the web. And then once it opens, I think it's a great application.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, if you ever try and like just get a file and try and open up SmartArt, a slide with a SmartArt diagram on any other viewer, and it's just not going to work. Only the PowerPoint mobile app works. I've used the online version quite a bit too. I've actually done editing in the online version now. I did a group collaboration one where we had a couple of slides. We needed to get some input, so we sent out the link. said, hey, please go down to slide, number 37. And, you three people collaborate and tell us what the real message is here, because you all are saying something different as far as your financials go, which was kind of a funny story for us. And again, I think it's a power for all three of us or anybody that does presentation designs. Often we're the line of information consolidation. Like we're the only ones that see everybody's presentation before everybody gets together. And so I'm often calling out, hey, did you know you're saying the fiscal goal is, $2.2 billion and the CEO is saying $2.8 billion? And that's a big difference. And, getting things aligned. We're oftentimes that first point of information and alignment. So it doesn't matter what program you're working in, somebody's got to look at it, make sure it's consistent.
Exactly. You know what? I think the web app clearly is the competitor to Google Slides. That's their – It is now.
I never really thought about that. But
It was pretty limited when it first came out. Now I think it's pretty robust.
Indeed. And like you, I use it for collaboration. That's really the biggest opportunity I see.
So any others that we got? Did we cover everything? Are there any other software pieces? There are a couple other things. There's a guy who's, I think he's in Israel, who I know created his own software a couple years ago, and I don't know where it's gone. But every once in a while, I sort of do see these other, people talking about competitors. I think, do you guys remember Nancy Duarte mentioned that there was like all this Silicon Valley VC money going into some project that was supposed to kill PowerPoint. She didn't say much more than that, but that was a couple years ago and we haven't seen anything.
Yeah, there's Canva.
Showbook?
Showbook, okay.
Is that what it is? Or something with show in it, right?
Oh my goodness. I now know what you're talking about. I'll have to think about it here for a moment. Canva's a big one that's out there, and it's more for creating, in my opinion, social media little blips and stuff, but it's creates some very beautiful layouts. As a matter of fact, I think PowerPoint's presentation designer, where it kind of rearranges and gives you text options, is very Canva-like.
Okay.
So Canva's kind of a fun one. I don't really think of it as a presentation tool.
Yeah,
I think of it as more of a social media.
Canva more is just creating individual slides.
Exactly. Yeah.
And which actually they even say you can then dump into PowerPoint.
We didn't talk about legacy options. I mean, we've got things like Flash and Director, which I feel are pretty much all dead at this point. Although in their day, I was heavily invested in both for many projects and could do everything and more than what we're doing in current presentation software with those. Especially handoff deliverables that were locked down, things like that. Not to say we've covered everything, but there are, like you're saying, Nolan, there's a lot of specialty software options out there that, I mean, they have some niche areas where they work, but I don't know if they're big enough to be a part of a major conversation. As example, I was just on one large project where an entire presentation was storyboarded in PowerPoint. So we did use PowerPoint, but literally just for storyboarding, because there's multiple screens, there's multiple layers, and it was kind of the point of information. But the entire presentation content was all built in Photoshop, even the text. Everything was imported, non-editable, but it was imported and queued in a D3 system, which you get to be at a larger show, and it's just an incredible linear layering visual software that can do everything of everything. And it's kind of crazy to even say you'd want to do a whole show that way, but it was done. Have you guys ever heard of, M-I-L-L-U-M-I-N, Millum?
Oh.
I cannot pronounce it. Anyways, it's a
Where is that on the periodic table?
Yeah. It's a, I want to say it's a German company. I can't think of, anyways, it's a Mac only app for creating audiovisual interactive shows. I mean, it does a lot of, it's really big thing is for projection mapping. So when you're going to, you've got a curved surface or you've got, you know, you're going to literally go onto the building and there's a pop out where the window is, you can actually do pin cushioning and tell it where your projection should warp and not warp. But it does stellar video playback. And it's being used for a lot of speaker support segments by a lot of companies I know. They're actually building the presentation areas in it. Both of those, you know, they're highly specialized. They're highly costly.
We might probably get comments on this. There are, in addition to the ones we were talking about, there are probably a good dozen others out there. I mean,
I have a list.
Oh, yeah, right. There are lists. Like there's Zoho Show and the other, the
Clear Slide, email.
Yeah, the other things. Tons and tons out there. None of us have any experience with it, right?
And then we didn't talk about there's a lot of iPad only apps. I think Nolan, you've done things where it's an iPad show. Everybody sits down and has an iPad in front of them so that, you know, the presentation software is dynamic right in front of them.
Yeah, we did that a couple times at my agency days, but that was in the early days of both Keynote and iPads, and we did it with Keynote. It worked okay. I think we were always looking for that master control, which was tough. One time we actually this is crazy. We actually created. We had somebody develop an app for specifically, you know, a custom app for the iPad that people could, you know, zoom around, and it kind of worked like a little mini website. We were always looking for new ways to present. So we did stuff on iPads and we did Prezi and Keynote. Mm-hmm. We would do multiple screens in a small room. There were times we sort of went old school with, we would use no screen. We would use whiteboards or blackboards or pin boards, you know, physically moving things around just to get out of that, you know, another PowerPoint.
Again, it's the presentation and the story or the message that's more important than the software that's used. I think we can honestly say that any of these options could be used to build a professional presentation, but you got to first of all build out that storyline to make sure the message is clear, and then you come up with something to support it. PowerPoint just, in my opinion, kind of controls the universe at this point because it's so dominant in its use. Everybody can reuse the content. Everybody has it. There's multiple ways to use it. But there are other options out there. I think is our whole point.
Well, right. And I've generated a list. I'm working on the salary survey for the Presentation Guild. And one of the questions we're asking is, you know, what is the software you use? We did that last year. And of course, 99% use PowerPoint of those people responding. But again, there's Clear Slide. There's Emaze.
That one's a good one.
Kineticast. Are you familiar with that?
Nope.
How about not.
Powtoon?
Oh, yeah, the cart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Slide Bean, Slide Bureau, Slide Dog, Link.
Slide Rock. Yeah, we haven't talked about all the online options.
Right. So that's all out there. None of which I use, but I thought they should be listed as options.
And if anybody does use those, like, drop us an email. Like I'm very curious to know, like, how you're using it and in what context and what clients.
Yes, PowerPoint is the reigning king of the presentation software realm for the time being. And there's a good reason for the kind of esteemed position. It works. It's virtually universally available. It is multi-platform. And it can be used beyond the concepts of a traditional presentation, which I think is a huge advantage to PowerPoint as a software application. Yes, as we have covered, there are other options available, and none get dismissed as unusable. They just may have more niche areas of use. The key considerations are functionality, distribution, and repurposing options. If those align and the software selected makes you look like a prepared presenter, which is the most important thing, we look forward to seeing the presentation.
So how about we start the next section? Let's talk about pro and tech tips.
Awesome.
Who wants to start?
Go for it, Sandy.
Okay, well, I'll start.
What do you got?
Okay. This is not a presentation tip or PowerPoint tech tip or anything. No, for traveling purposes, I recommend the Delta app. I've used it and took it for granted for a couple of years now. But recently, my sister and brother and I sent my parents to D.C. for a fun trip. And my sister went along with them because they're elderly and she was there to guide them. But she wasn't familiar with checking in and all that process. And, you know, I told her how to do it online, but I said, if you download the app, it's going to be so much easier. And she did. And someone who doesn't travel a lot anymore, it was just a really slick and easy way to check in, to have your boarding pass, to check your connecting flights, to get updates on delays, that sort of thing. I just think it's a really great tool to have in your back pocket, especially if you're a business traveler.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't fly Delta anymore because of airport issues, but yes. I use the United app. All the apps, I think, are actually quite good.
Good one.
Flying a set is not a fun experience these days, but those make it better.
I mean, I fly American mostly. That's my primary airline or its partners. So that's a good one. Mm-hmm. They're mobile apps. They're free. They're well worth it.
I'm going to tell you a tiny airport story. I have a United mileage card, mm-hmm. and you get like 20% off if you eat at one of the restaurants in the United terminal if you use the card. So they have all these like iPad at Newark. They have all these iPad, you know, menu things. They have those uh-huh. at a lot of airports. So I swipe my card. And I ordered what I want. And after I, you know, typed in tip or whatever, it said, you owe $0. And I said, okay. Like, I didn't understand. I thought, you know, maybe I already paid. And it just said, okay, you have a zero balance. Somebody came up to my table like 60 seconds later with a card that said, your lunch is on the United card today. They were doing some sort of promotion, I guess, and whatever. It was quite nice.
Nice.
Wow.
And then the funny thing was, so this came from the credit card, not from the airline. And but I tweeted at United because I didn't know really what the credit card's Twitter was, and somebody responded saying, "I'm glad you got a free lunch. They lost my bags today." So that's my
oh, I have story. To say my airport story with the app is the app tracks your luggage. That's a good thing.
Oh yeah,
yes,
that is a good thing.
But when your luggage is marked incorrectly and the scanning sticker goes on someone else's luggage.
Oh my goodness.
It tracks their luggage going across the country.
Okay, so my pro tip is also not a presentation one, but you know, I'm making notes continuously. I am left-handed, so I'm a little bit more finicky about the ink because of, you know, that whole left-handed, you can smear it and this and that, and paranoia from back in my grade school days when I'd go to turn in a paper and it was a giant smudge. But you know, one of my favorite pens, and I got a whole bunch of these at Christmas, which is really funny. It's by Wacom, the bamboo tablet, but they made a pen and it's just a really, really, it's a metal case pen. It has a little, like you use it on your phone, the little spongy tip. I'm really at a loss for words here, but anyways, it's a cool pen and I use it cause it's a fine tip and I have like six of them now. So I keep one with my little, notepad I keep with me all the time, but one's at each desk. So I have a pen to pick up that I like. It's a very fine tip. It's really, really well constructed. I could probably hurt somebody with it because it's solid metal and it's a really, really pointy tip and it's really thin. I really like thin diameter pens. You know, some people like those big fat ones. I like the exact opposite. So I just realized as I was trying to think of tech tips, I'm like, well, sitting right here in front of me, I actually have two of them right now. I'm holding one. I'm making notes as we go. And I have another one sitting right up next to my monitor. If you go into the studio, I've got one sitting there in my monitor. If you open up my bag, there's one in the little pen holder in my notepad that I keep, you know, all my ongoing notes. So I'm going to put a link to it. It's available on Android. It's available on Amazon. I'm sure you can find it other words, but it's really interesting because it's the Wacom branded pen called Bamboo, which really isn't used on the tablets.
Great one. So,
I'm just going to throw it out there. It's a fun, easy, cool thing.
And I see they have an orange model, which means it will match my office. All right. My pro tech tip comes from our friends at Nuix Power. I never know how to pronounce that, but they are the makers of NX Power Lite, which is our favorite compression software. Mm-hmm. So they, up until now, it's just been standalone desktop software. They are coming out with a web-based
Yes.
Online, I guess that's redundant, compression tool that is free as far as we know. It's called WeCompress, and it is not officially launched yet, but Troy and I, and I don't know, Sandy, I don't know if you played around with it, we've done some testing of it, and it's quite nice, and I know it's just in beta right now, but we just wanted to give you a heads up that that is coming. And as soon as that's official, we'll give you the links.
It's very slick. I like it. Yeah. I've got a whole blog post ready to go. I'm just waiting for them to give the permissions to make it public because I did testing. I don't know if you've done this, Nolan, but one of the limitations right now is that it only has one profile for compression. But when you run it through the desktop version and the online version, it's virtually the same compression and it's really fast.
Yeah, it's. I think it's good. It's so, you know, it works. There are a number of online things like Cloud Convert, and I think they're sort of trying to be in that vein, and also just like WeTransfer, the sort of like drag and drop a file and it does what it's supposed to do, which is really nice.
Hey, let's do sign-offs and say thank you and goodbye and all that good stuff. So this is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a design studio team focused on presentation design. If you're looking for presentation messaging and design or show site graphics ops with the support of trained graphic designers there, check us out at tlccreative.com. We've got the blog, which I've kind of ignored for the past little bit. We're gearing up to do a complete new, I don't want to say branding. What do I want to say about the blog? I want to say that I haven't done a whole lot, but that's because I'm changing up how we're going to do our posts, and they're going to be really great, and it's all going to start in November. So the powerpointblog.com has a history of great information. How's that? 8 years, 9 years of stuff. And you can look at us at facebook.com/TLC Creative to see photos of where we are and our team and stuff like that.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog at presentyourstory.com. You can subscribe for some goodies and things like that. And if you need presentation or data visualization training, that's what we do. All customized. So give us a call and we'll come to your organization and have some fun.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You may visit my website at presentationwiz.biz or my blog at pptwizblog. Or just search my name, Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint, on the web, and you'll learn all kinds of things about me.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.